Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media.
That was awesome.
Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, episode 52. Here to help review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And we're back.
Yay!
Hallelujah.
All right. And Mark, I want to thank you for getting that Tom Payne shout out.
No problem.
Where did you get that again?
Actually, it was at the Mid-Hudson Comic-Con up by me. It's literally about 20 minutes away from me, and they always hold it in May. So I had a good time going, and I got to talk to Tom a little bit, and he said he was in town because he's working in New York City with the new show and talking up other possibilities for his career.
That's cool.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool. All right. So let's get started with this episode. We will be discussing the season premiere of Fear the Walking Dead, season 5, episode 1, titled Here to Help, written by the co-showrunners. And it's, I've noticed I was, went back and looked, and they often are credited in the reverse order. But this time they are credited as written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss. So I don't exactly know why they switched order, but I guess they did. Directed by, I think he's still co-executive producer. Don't think he switched to executive producer. I don't know. I didn't check. If that has changed, I'll put a nice big incorrect here. So I'm preemptively in case that's not, but Michael E. Satrazimus. So, all right. So, what did you guys think of this episode? Mark, we'll start with you.
I give it 8 out of 10 symbols related to the Walking Dead proper show.
Oh my goodness. Then I have to say, we're going to hear that one a lot. All right, Kyle, what about you?
Yeah, I gave it an 8 out of 10 homemade vinaigrette swill beer.
Yeah, and I'm going to give it actually an 8.5. So surprised that I'm actually higher than both of you guys, but an 8.5 deadly half propellers.
Nice.
So I kind of like that weapon of Alicia. Okay, so one thing we're gonna do for starting this season of Fear, we started doing this on the Star Trek Discovery podcast, is when we give names of listeners, we say your name from this city or this country or this state, whatever you tell us. So we're going to keep that going here. So, Mark, why don't you give the first listener rating?
Yeah, Glennis from Toronto gives it 8 out of 10. Swing that propeller, Alicia.
Yep.
Yep. And LT from North Carolina gave it 8 out of 10. All your base are belong to us.
And we usually call that LT from NC, by the way. So
okay,
he's an avid listener of us on the Star Trek Discovery podcast. I think he came over from there. So Lara from Denver, she gives the Fear premiere a 6 out of 10 scared. I screwed that up. Just leave it in because it's much like the name. A 6 out of 10 skid marks. And we go into more about this in her feedback. It was kind of all about the rating in her the feedback she gave us, but we left the rest of it for the feedback section. All right, so let's move on to Awesome Sauce. All right, and we only got one listener that gave us any awesome sauce, so I'll throw it to you, Kyle. What do you have?
Glynis from Toronto says, the aftermath scene of the crash landing was very well done, with the womp, womp, womp of the propeller slowly winding down to a stop. Alicia's appearance out of the smoke, I initially thought the Fear the Walking Dead original group was assisting those kids from the ground and not involved in the plane crash. So that was a revealing jolt. Though I know the message on the boxes was a clue. Athea can fly a plane? Who would have guessed, as she said to the kids, she's a journalist. The look on the kids' faces was priceless when she said that, LOL. And then she also says, Morgan and Alicia fighting all those walkers, and John's sharpshooting hasn't diminished any, getting those pesky walkers in order to assist Morgan and then June and Athea out of the plane.
Yeah, definitely. I noticed his sharpshooting skills again. And it seems like he's not the only one that can fly a plane. Possibly Strand.
Yeah.
And we don't exactly find out what the heck happened that he didn't accompany them, but he certainly seemed to be guilty about that fact.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to ours. Mark, what do you have?
Well, first off, I would like to say I like that the group had gotten a plane and tried to help others with the supplies to do it. So they're actually trying to help others with another means other than the trucks that they have. Plus, that plane crash was very intense. The season kickstarted with a great scene with a crash and action and all the whole thing in the beginning. The next would be the group seemed to come together as a family unit now in comparison to last season. I was like, they were falling apart last season as they were getting together, but now they seem to be more of like a family unit, which is a little bit more intriguing. They're coming together more so, almost like the actual proper show itself, mm-hmm. which makes me a little bit more happy. But when I see that, I see people. We lose people.
Yeah.
So the next would be the kids seem cool to me, but there's a little question when I get into my what sauce about them. So we'll get into that later. The best part of the whole thing, honestly, would be Matt Frewer, who we all know from Max Headroom, that other dad in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the father that was all sportsmanlike, trying to take the kids fishing and stuff. And, of course, we all know him from Dawn of the Dead remake mm-hmm. in the early 2000s. I really love Matt Frewer's work, all the characters he presents in any show, and it was so great to see him in this.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know him from lots of other things, like he was in Falling Skies, he was mm-hmm. in, and he was a really good role in that. He was a really phenomenal, not fanatic, in Orphan Black as well. He played what was his name? He was one of the guys behind the cloning stuff in that show, and played a pretty critical role in the first couple of seasons. And Leakey, that's it, Dr. Leakey. I remember now. So he's always been good in lots of stuff. He of course played Berlinghoff Rasmussen, Rasmussen in TNG. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He's a big character actor and very underrated, just very much like Gary Sinise and a few other actors that are out there.
Yeah, and always good in everything he's in. So yeah, he's a nice addition there. And playing a very unexpected character. Of course, a lot of times he plays kind of villains with a twist, I would say. Not always, like in Falling Skies, he was, I think, a general or something like that, and he was like a good guy, but sometimes he also does the bad guys. So anyway, I'm kind of interested, I guess, his character is gonna be an interesting character. Yeah. I had not even thought of a partner of Clayton.
I didn't
Polar
either.
Bear.
I wasn't even thinking about that. You know, I didn't think to realize. But
or if they were still alive.
Yeah. No, totally. It's like
So, and it's also worth. We'll talk more about Logan and that whole thing as we go on with it. Kyle, what about you?
I like the tripwire setup that Alicia sets up to take out the walkers to give it more time.
I did too.
It was like kind of like what Mark's saying about, like, you know, the group has kind of come together much more than they have, you know, like last season. But just like they had this plan of action. It's like, here's this wave of walkers. Here's what we're going to do. And, you know, and then it's just also her badassery killing zombies with that plane propeller. You know, it was like, I don't know how to describe it or whatever, but I mean, she's kind of like their point, like go-getter or, you know, like soldier. But then it was really cool that after that whole scene, you know, the whole scene of the plane and everything was done. And then it's like Al gives her back her like signature weapon, the machine gun heat depressor, like that whole beginning just set up and like how it progressed to when they were getting ready to like leave. And then she's like, okay, here we go. Yeah, she got her weapon, which was so cool. And I mean, overall, I really liked, you know, this episode. I mean, obviously, it's the first episode, there's more to, you know, we need to see. But just the feel of it, and also, like, you know, the scenes with the walkers, you know, like all tied together with their guts, and then the chomping heads in the trees. It's just like the atmosphere that they kind of started setting. I found that awesome, and it kind of made me excited for the show, you know, now that it's back on. And then the last thing I thought was awesome, and I didn't catch it until my second rewatch, and it was like, you know, I'm not still on board with Charlie still being around, but it was kind of cool seeing her like holding the gun whenever they were at, like, when they saw the scene where Logan's people had taken over the denim factory. And then they're all like getting out of their trucks, like looking at them like, okay, what's going on? You like see just, she's in the background, but she's like holding a gun pointing, you know, and it's just kind of this, like, how far has she come? Like, the, you know, she was such a, I still don't feel like that she deserves any of their like respect or, you know, whatever, but, you know, obviously they have, and it seems like that she's like fully on board because they trust her with a gun. No, I don't know. I found it. I thought that was awesome. I liked it because it kind of expects me to think that she's going to kind of be maybe like a secret hidden weapon.
I think you definitely notice that she has grown over the year.
Oh, yeah.
You can definitely see it. But I thought that was cool. That also shows that there's been a passage of time. So it wasn't necessarily like, you know, how they always seem to try to hide that, you know, Chandler Riggs was like, you know, 6'2". I don't know what he is anymore, but certainly older than his the age he was playing. Well, I wrote down a few quick ones here, since most of the ones I was going to bring up had already been stated. Kind of goofy thing to say, but Scooby-Doo to the rescue. Just the kid, I don't think that I can't remember her name. Did you catch her name? The
little girl driving the van.
The little girl, yeah, the girl driving the van. Anyway, see if I can look it up. But
yeah, I wrote them down at work, and I obviously don't have that in front of me now.
Annie. Her name is Annie, played by Bailey Gavulich. Gavulich, I think. G-A-V-U-L-I-C. I think that's like a Serbian name or something. That should be, I think it would be Gavulich or Gavulich instead of Gavulich. But anyway, yeah. So I thought that was just a cool thing to happen. Not that cool, but you guys should
know. Still, so. Yeah, it's a group of kids.
I like the Wendell and Sarah banter. They're
awesome.
A nice, you know, comic relief in the show. And I did notice that they were not on the starring portion of the credits. They were listed as guest starring. So I don't know what that exactly means as far as those two. Hopefully they are going to survive, but
hopefully.
Yeah.
I really enjoy those characters.
Yeah, same here.
And they actually saluted the guy who created the beer last season.
Yes, they did. Yeah, Jimbo. Talking about two new characters, of course, the John and June. I like the fact that, you know, last season, it was, I think, John providing June what she needed to kind of, you know, realize that someone cared for her and gave her hope. And now it seems to be the other way around. So I think that's pretty cool. And he seems to be a little guilty that, you know, he's found happiness where everyone else has found despair. So I noticed that.
Yeah.
That's about all I'll say. I also like the Morgan Alicia dynamic and hope to get to see a lot of that. And based on what she said on Talking Dead this week, and we have more to talk about when it comes to Talking Dead, but I'll leave that to the news. She hinted that they had a lot of scenes together this season. So I look forward to seeing more of that over the course of the season. All right, so let's move on to the week variety.
You're worthless and weak.
Well, we didn't get any weak sauce from anyone. So Mark, we'll leave it to you.
Well, I think it was a little weak to start the season with the baddie outright. There was no buildup at all. Plus, I agree with what Kyle's going to say.
And then I'll go on to say, yeah, it's like Logan, I guess. Like, if he's supposed to be the new villain, I mean, he was really nice about it.
Well, yeah.
And it's also, I don't understand if the place was his and Morgan's group is all like, you know, we help everybody. And, you know, it's like, then why did he make this scheme to get them to go so far away so they could take it over? It's like, did he not even try to ask for it back or like introduce himself? Did they say no or, you know, or something like that? I mean, he does say, he's like, I've watched you people. Like, I've been watching you. And if he's been watching them, then he would have probably seen that they didn't look very threatening.
Yeah.
So it was kind of unsure, like, what's going on with this.
Yeah,
he turned to Sting. Every breath you take, every movie you be watching.
Anyway, I don't have a Sting clip, so I won't play it. to that end, okay, so you bring up Logan. I had that in my what sauce. Is he really a bad guy for wanting his own property back? That would be my question. I mean, if it's his stuff, I mean, how can they really say no? Is it kind of like possession is 9/10 of the law? The unlaw, the lawless? I don't know. Or for that matter, the next question I have is if that was true, how come it took him so long to get his stuff back? Why did he wait this long? You know, and certainly if Polar Bear had, gone down, or, you know, his crew had dissipated because of Crazy Woman, Martha, I think's her name, which I watched season two again, and she was so good in the episodes, and it's so funny because her character was so bad.
Yeah.
The acting was so good based on a story that was so bad. I didn't buy that whole thing. Her motivations just didn't make sense to me at all, especially against Morgan, you know. Yeah. But anyway, that's last season. So that would be my one question, is like, why did he have to wait so long? Why didn't he try to take it over, you know, before they got there? Why didn't they try to take it over when Polar Bear was still around?
Yeah.
You know,
like, where was he? You know, it's like, why did they split? Where did he go? And then some obviously came back with seemingly a crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe the poor Negan trucker that needs to have everybody bring him everything.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Or is it, you know, is it all?
It's a trap.
I don't know. I don't know. One thing I wanted to bring up in my week's house, the only other point I had is Luciana down again. Like, this is the second time at the start of the season she's injured. And, you know, seriously injured. Again, last time she was shot, and this time she's got some kind of almost rebar through her shoulder. That's not what it was, but some, you know, twisted portion of the plane, you know, right through her shoulder, and yet survives it, which I was kind of surprised about. I thought when she got that, she was dead and gone. I expected her to be a guest on Talking Dead this week. But I don't understand why they picked her for that, like, considering they had already done that. But then again, it's different showrunners. So,
well, maybe they just needed somebody to keep poking holes into all the time.
I thought, like, you know, since she hasn't had that happen, you know, they could have done that to Alicia, but then again, maybe the story wouldn't have worked out so well, or, you know, maybe they could have made June, you know, get the thing, and, you know, that would have been a complication because, of course, she's the nurse. Uh-huh. I don't really understand why they went with her.
They should have went with Charlie. As the
yeah, totally. Charlie. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you can, like, think about, like, with them all sitting in the writer's room, and, like, Luce, or whatever her real name is, but, like, they're sitting there like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because, like, Alicia did get a cut on her hand, but then she just was all like, no, I still got to, you know, like, and then basically kept holding that, you know, propeller. And yeah. So they were just like, no, you're getting the pole, and she's just getting a scratch.
Well maybe denied. Yeah. Really ticked somebody off in the writer's room, who knows.
and the pipe or whatever it was, you know, if it had gone to Alicia, it would have wrecked her beautiful hair.
I think Kristen would love that.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I guess, you know, they don't want to mess up her pretty face and pretty whatever.
Yeah, so. Well, it's so funny, too, to point out, it's like, they always do that. It's like, oh, let's make her look prim and proper. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, to defend somebody, it's like, they always make her look so, it's like, oh, she looks great. She looks great. Oh, look at that great jacket she's wearing, which looks similar to Madison's, too.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the what variety of sauces.
What?
All right, Mark, what do you got?
What is with the symbols that we see in the Walking Dead proper show and Fear the Walking Dead show now? What does Althea know? It's like she's seen the uniform before or something. You know, I know we saw something in the tapes and she's putting two and two together, but did she see this before and knew something about these people?
Yeah.
Because she was looking for something particularly, like through that bag and everything.
Well, she did say she's all like, no, there's a story here. So I kind of got that same feeling too. It was just maybe she's run across somebody that she's, you know, did a tape of that had mentioned or talked about something like this. So,
yeah, I mean, it could have been the uniform that the guy had or something.
Yeah.
So the symbols, this is something you'd seen before.
Yeah, we've seen it in The Walking Dead, the circles.
Where?
On a helicopter.
Okay, do you have like an 85-inch TV or something? Because I swear to you, I looked and I did find it. But man, oh man, oh man, I really had to look closely to find that symbol. And if I hadn't heard about it, I never would have found it.
I was rewatching one of the Walking Dead episodes, the one where Rick was, you know, catered away with the helicopter and it was on the side.
Yeah. I saw it, but if I wasn't looking for it, I never would have seen
it. I remembered that symbol.
Now, see, I didn't. It when it was mentioned on Talking Dead, I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It did not register.
I registered it as a symbol and something important, but not the connection at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I connected it. I don't know, maybe because I'm a little bit crazy, but I drew those symbols and I'm like, what is this?
You crazy.
But when I saw that again, I'm like, wait, what, there. Oh my God. There's a connection.
Mm.
So
we shall see.
You mean to say that it was in the chopper?
Get to the chopper!
Sorry, Arnold.
All right. What else you got?
What is with the kids? They seem to be driving a van for a camp. Were they in camp? And for how long? Plus, the kid with the glasses seemed a bit young. When the zombie apocalypse started, how old was he? And if he was really young when that happened and got those glasses wouldn't really fit his head.
Well, maybe they weren't originally his glasses.
Yeah.
So, not as much time has passed in this show as has now passed on The Walking Dead. So it's, you know, it's only a few years and we don't know, like, has enough time passed for, say, Rick. And if you haven't seen The Walking Dead, listeners, first of all, why are you listening to us? Okay. So I'll say just that. But, you know, if we're spoiling things, sorry about that. I know that it will come available on DVD and streaming later this summer, but you know, hopefully you don't fit into this bill, but you know, if you do, well, we already kind of spoiled things, you know, just erase it from memory. I would say we don't know exactly how much time has passed, but I would think the kid is probably what, 8 or 9, something like that. So he was probably like 5, I'll guess. Like I really was interested in his reaction to the toy truck, and what that meant to him, and he kind of treated it like it was a non-thing, like
a foreign object. Served no like purpose. I never saw this before.
Yeah. Like at first I thought he didn't even know what a toy was, but then I realized, well, he did know what a toy was. He just hadn't seen one for so long or had no use for it that, it was surprising to him. So anyway, I did like the reaction in general, but anyway, Kyle, what about you?
Yeah, mine follows the kids. Like I kind of was like trying to find something else, and this was kind of the only thing that really just stuck out as soon as the show started. But it was just like Max, the big brother, like in his gun jam, so he can't use it. But then, like, you see him seconds later, you know, they're like, you know, walkers are coming after them, and he tries to use the gun again. And it's just like, well, yeah, like, you never unjammed it. And then he, like, again in the plane, like, June jumps down, and, you know, and he, like, pulls his gun up again. It's like, well, your gun's jammed. I was just like, why are you trying to, you know, still use it? And so I was just like, what is wrong with this kid? But I mean, I don't know. It kind of bugged me, but that's my what.
I guess my what sauce, since we used one of the ones that I was going to use, is what's the deal with this whole radiation zone? The next thing I'm going to say is probably a potential big spoiler. So if you did not watch the Talking Dead episode, either watch it or fast forward about 30 seconds. But apparently it was hinted by the showrunners that perhaps this radiation may make walkers harder to kill. And I don't know what the purpose of it is and what they're going to do, but it gave me pause. So What do you guys think about that whole thing? Like, what's going on there? What happened?
Yeah, I wasn't able to get to watch the Talking Dead, so I don't know exactly, you know, what they said, but I thought, yeah, it's like just an area that, you know, that they're wherever they are, because I mean, I'm not entirely sure what state or where exactly they are, but like maybe it's like, you know, maybe it's like a, you know, a, what do you call those Superfund sites or something like that, you know, and so it's just like full of like, you know, used nuclear waste. But then also, you know, I didn't know if it's like, if we have this other group or whoever this other, because the kids were even talking about it, it's like, well, maybe this was just like, just a scare tactic or something, so it was just put up, you know, just like to be like, oh, stay away. But you know, if they were talking about, you know, radiation is somehow going to be playing a role, then yeah, I guess we'll see what I don't know how you would make that come across, because it's not like they're gonna be like glowing green or something. You give them a headshot and they just pick up.
My first instinct was, wait, we're getting Toxic Avenger zombies?
I mean, I could see that, where it's just like the zombies just look really messed up, and that'd be kind of
Too toxic to handle, and it causes damage to other people, or they get sick.
Well, yeah, if they're irradiated, you get near that, you're going to die at some point.
Exactly, and then you become one of them and just become part of the mass.
Very interesting. I'm just looking, and even though our ratings were kind of, you know, fair, it got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. So from the critics, so good for it. I'm not used to seeing that. What I'm used to seeing is an audience score of like something like 29% on shows that I also cover. just in case you don't understand that, certain people don't like Star Trek Discovery, and they flood Rotten Tomatoes and say things like zero star. And, so anyway, it's nice to see that not show up. So there's a lot of questions that I guess could come up, but I would say that this whole radiation thing would be one. Why did Logan send them that far away? Where are they? Are they in Mississippi or Alabama? Or actually, it wouldn't be Alabama's on the other side of Mississippi, right? So it would either be it would be maybe Louisiana, or it's supposed to be Mississippi was supposed to be the furthest away. So that would mean it would have to be like closer in, like Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, or somewhere on the other side of Texas. We don't know. We have no idea where this is.
Yeah. I brought that up in my feedback, which I kind of, I'll just give it here, but I was kind of making the same kind of questioning. It's like, because it's like they needed a plane to get to Logan. So it was like, you know, why couldn't they just have driven their trucks? You know, what was the point? And so it's like, that's a lot of, you can cover a lot of space in a plane. So it's like,
well,
it's,
and also it, wherever they went to, somewhere that has mountains.
Yeah.
So that maybe something like the Ozarks. Like,
yeah, because
that would make sense, right?
Yeah, because I mean, they're not like huge mountains, but you know, right. There's still like Oklahoma has like mountains, but they're more like hills, but they're
tall. Yeah. Yeah. And it could be something like that too, I guess.
I don't wonder if we'll ever find out though.
Yeah, it makes you wonder though, exactly how far away are they from Denim Factory at this point?
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing I was wondering is, so how long have they been going at it trying to help people? Months? I'd say months, right? But it's a question of how many months? Couple months? 3 months?
I would say between 4 and 6.
Okay. That's a fair assumption. They haven't been able to help anybody? Not even single people? I'm surprised about that. Like, entire camps, whatever, that doesn't surprise me at all. But you'd think in their travels they would have found individuals to help and brought them in, because it seems like they were trying to bring in people, yet they didn't even bring in a single soul. And the funny thing is, like, I couldn't remember what Daryl Mitchell's character's name was, so when I heard Wendell, I was like looking for who's Wendell, not realizing it that's Wendell. Oh, okay. So I was surprised about that though.
Yeah, well, and I think there was a scene when Logan gets into the Denim Factory, and like he comes across Althea's tapes, and there's like a notepad, and he looks through it, and there's all these like names or whatever, but next to him are like dead, dead, dead. So
yeah,
I guess maybe that's, they were just going off Althea's tapes to be like, oh, there were some people I ran across here, let's go there, and then there was, I guess, no luck. But yeah, you still think that as you're traveling around, you're going to probably, I would think, cross over survivors.
And there's another thing I was going to put in my what sauce, but it is covered in other people's feedback. And I know several of us have brought it up in our comments here. So I'm going to just hold off, or should I say, I'm going to mark it with a skid. All right, let's move on to the sad or the aw sauce. Again, we didn't get any from listeners, so Mark, what do you have?
Well, first off, I'll start off with, I was sad to see those kids fend on their own and have been tricked by adults before, so you could see why they were reluctant once they heard growlers oh, you're sending us to growlers. And they were getting really annoyed at that. That's what I got out of their interaction with the group. They don't trust easy and they scavenge for what they need. So they've been on their own for a while.
Did you notice that they called them growlers and biters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are two terms that we've heard before.
Yep.
I forget who called them growlers. I know I've heard it before, but I don't remember who said it.
Yeah, it was in the main show, but I forgot who.
It could have been in this show.
Yeah, it might have been way back in like maybe season 2.
Or Troy and the Autos, maybe they called them growlers or something. I don't remember now, but I know somebody has called them growlers, and I know the governor called them biters.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
The only other little thing I had was Luciana getting hurt. I know that she was never a great character and not a fan favorite. I just hope they don't get rid of her that easily, you know? It's like, oh, well, she's on for the next episode. Oh, well, we got rid of her.
I know when she first came on the scene in season two, I thought she was really cute. And I've kind of gotten over it. So the actress is very attractive. Don't get me wrong, but her character, the what they've done with her character, I haven't been really impressed with.
I think she served her time, and I think that was really for the main benefit of Nick. And now we don't have Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yet they've kept her on and
to poke holes in her. They need the red shirt, but that is always going to be the red shirt every episode.
Well, she's going to have a red shirt every episode if it keeps going on.
Very true.
I guess that leads me then to my awe sauce is that, oh, she's still alive after all this time. Aw.
Aw. Yeah. Well, to that, I could say it's kind of sad, but I'll also say about Luciana, you know, June, this would have been a good opportunity to kill off Luciana.
And you blew it! You blew it! You blew it! You blew it! You had it all and you blew it!
That's cruel. I don't really have a problem with her character, but and I didn't really have any aw sauce, so, but I thought it was a good chance to play that, so I did. Okay, well, let's move on to our feedback section. Simon, what do you and Rick? What do you have to say? Well, Simon, what do you say?
Bullshit.
Okay, I wasn't asked for that. What about you?
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
That particular sound effect was calling me. Okay. All right. So we got one voicemail, and it's a short one, but a good one nevertheless, from our friend Steve.
Hello, Brian and Mark in The Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead talk through. This is Steve. Really enjoyed this opening episode of the season. Here to help. I'm excited to see where they take this character of Logan with Matt Frewer. Absolutely love him. Excited. I didn't catch the little Easter egg. I don't know if it really is. I've seen some of the reports about it by the three ring circles tying to the helicopter that took Rick off. I don't know if that's true or not, but can't wait to hear what you guys thought. And can't wait for the rest of the season. Talk to you later.
And Steve, we already talked about it, but yes, it was true. Although, literally, it was one of those things I had to go back after I heard it. Because usually I'm pretty good at picking up this kind of stuff. But this one, no, I did not pick it up. I don't remember what I watched that episode on, if it was on the big screen or if it was like on a tablet or phone even, but I did not even remember seeing that symbol. So when it got mentioned on Talking Dead, I'm kind of like,
what?
Yeah. So, all right. So we got some feedback here. First one is LT from NC. Mark, you want to read that for us?
Yeah. LT from, I'm assuming North Carolina.
Yep.
He says, hey, guys, decided to give Fear a second chance and likewise was encouraged to send in some comments. Sidebar one, I've been a longtime Walking Dead fan back from Herschel's Farm onwards. Watched season one of Fear, and it just did not grab me like The Walking Dead did. However, I started watching the reruns leading into the season, so I'll give it another shot. And sidebar two would be, Got into the podcast via Brian's Discovery podcast, and I have started going back to listen and catch up. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Ruthie, who is my co-host on that podcast, was the original co-host on this podcast. So if you go back in the archives, you can listen to Ruthie and I talk about The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead.
I was a Showcase Showdown commenter.
Yes, you were. yeah, until season three, where you entered the main stage. But anyway, continuing?
Yeah, he continues on saying, the opening with the plane crash was pretty impressive and not what I was expecting from the beginning of the episode. I will say that they must have taken some plane crash survival tips from Brad Pitt in World War Z. The tree of the Zedheads and the Walker's roadblock was reminiscent of the Saviors, and the effects were on point and suitably gruesome. Of course, my thought was, how much work would it take to hang all those heads up like that when it always ends up being run, run, run for the heroes? Speaking of running away, while I get the need to get away from the impending herds of walkers, why is it that they always end up leaving stuff behind and never seem to go back to pick up anything? And how much stuff was left strewn around plane wreckage?
I was expecting that plane to blow up. It never seemed to blow up, though.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of cans that were still assembled, too. they were still there.
Yeah.
He also continues on saying, I'm curious about the kids in the camp van. Same here. I hope they get around to explaining what their deal is. So, and he also says, I like seeing Matt Frewer coming in as the new bad guy, as he has the depth to play a likable, maniacal villain. My gripe with Morgan and company with that scene was defense 101. Never leave your base unguarded. I know there are not a lot of folks in his crew, but someone should have stayed back to watch the door. It's kind of early to write the denim plant off, but it does fit with the old The Walking Dead trope of, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah,
it is true. Like the pigs. Remember, they had to slaughter the pigs? Oh, man. Yeah, there goes that bacon. So,
tainted meat.
Tainted meat.
Now about the walker and the body armor / riot suit. If I missed any earlier references to the Three Ring group, I apologize ahead of time. When I saw that guy in the fight at the airplane, I immediately thought it was pretty cagey to armor up a walker, or that there is a group who has tactical gear wandering around. When she went back to check his pockets, it all started coming together for me. Well, aside from opening all the pocket clutter and possible intel in the rain. So we got another piece in the puzzle from Rick's Halo ride to wherever, or Hilo ride. That group is organized. They have enough resources to do maps, operation overlays. For the folks who don't know, in the military, they used clear acetate to show things on maps. So the actual plans are not drawn on the map itself, so that stack of overlays could be operational areas, defensive locations, radiated areas, and etc. And they have uniforms.
Oh.
What will be interesting is where she ends up in the next episode. And yeah, that makes me think, will she end up with Rick? Or will we ever see Althea again? I hope not. And he also adds, I did have to throw out one thing from last season's finale. Morgan's wreck in the patrol car is the reason you never open the shield when you have someone in the back.
Yeah, I watched that on Sunday, and I saw that, I'm like, oh, it's so stupid, Morgan.
He says, the answer to someone grabbing you like that is to stomp the brakes so that they hopefully run into the shield and let go. It also works if someone is trying to kick you in the back of the head, but I digress. I'd also love to go into why it seems all the cars in The Walking Dead seem to brick like a rooted iPhone. He goes, looking forward to the podcast and the rest of the season. LT from North Carolina.
Well, thank you so much, LT. And definitely good to hear from you on this podcast. We've been hearing from you for all through the last season of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. So it's nice to hear you on here. So, or listen or read your comments on here and sometimes listen to on the Star Trek podcast. But anyway, good comments as well. So we should actually give you a showcase award. Maybe not a showcase award. I'll correct that. Not give you a showcase award because it's not voicemail, but. And now that I think about it, because I always forget, Steve, it's a little late, but here it is. Thank you for your voicemail, Steve. That's bad, but anyway. All right. Do you guys have anything to say about LT's feedback?
No, it was very insightful. That's all I could say. It's especially about the armor on the zombie that Althea found.
Yeah,
I was also interested in the whole acetate. I hadn't thought of like the overlays on the maps, but I have seen that before, so it makes sense. And I am also curious where she ends up. So
I don't think we'll see Rick, but
I have a funny feeling it might be leading to it.
Yeah, we got the movies.
Now, who have we seen use tasers before?
No. Or have we seen wire on body armor too?
That I immediately started thinking cyborg. It's like, okay, no, that's not going to be on in this universe. It hasn't, you know, gone forward in time or something 100 years. And anyway,
could be a tracker. Who knows?
You never know. Maybe they figured that if a walker tried to bite them, it would electrocute them. But maybe that was a way to kill them by electrocution. Because, of course, if you fry the brain, that kills them. But I don't know. Maybe based on my previous comment from spoiler. Okay, so again, we'll go 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this. But if the walkers are supposedly hard to kill in this radiation zone, maybe the only way to kill them is to fry their brain. So maybe that's why they are wired. Interesting.
Okay.
We shall see. Or
it's not true. That's impossible.
I think I've been suffering from the inability to play my sound effects. So sorry if this is too much for you. I don't mean to overload. I'll try to be good the rest of the episode. How about that? Okay. All right. Kyle, why don't you read the next bit of feedback?
Yes, our next feedback comes from Laura. She says, I give it a 6, mostly for the return of some fan favorite characters, not the least of them being Daniel Salazar. I'm not sure how such an intense and dark character is going to fit in this new bubblegum version of the Walking Dead universe, but at this point, I'm just like, whatever. At somewhat dull episode, watched it in the background as I was doing dishes. I'm hoping it picks up in the next few episodes. On another note, Nosferatu was lots of creepy goodness in the vein of, haha, punny, Tales from the Dark Side or Tales from the Crypt. I'm looking forward to this one.
Did you guys watch it?
I didn't. Honestly, I had work the next day, so I couldn't really watch anything past Fear.
Yeah, I'd say Fear.
Well, I have to say it did not capture my attention. Now, I was like Laura was doing for Fear. I was kind of doing other stuff during Nosferatu, so it just didn't. It didn't capture me. It seemed slow and boring, and I eventually turned it off. I'll probably give it another try just to see, but we'll see. But the fact that you liked it, Laura, maybe I'll give it another chance before next week. But all right, Ed. Also worth saying that Laura, I know, really loved season 3 of Fear, and so did we. So it's, you know, it's I had high hopes after the trailer for Fear, and the jury's still out on it. I mean, it was okay. I mean, it, you know, it's decent. I gave it 8.5. There were some things I liked about it, but it's nothing I really loved. 8.5 for me means it's a decent episode in that strange scale that I have. It's literally between 7 and 10. Anything that goes below 7, that's when I start losing interest in a show. And because something's got to be at least a 7 to keep my interest going, especially the podcast on it. I talked about this actually on our last episode of the Star Trek Discovery podcast, my weird range. A 5 in my range is not a good score. It's not an average score. It's average of all TV that's out there. So that's how I judge it. It's not self like between each of it. So anyway,
that's fair.
Yeah. All right. Well, Glynis from Toronto is next. She says, is that Dwight's handiwork of the walker strung out across the road and hanging walker heads in the tree? The old savior-ish way of doing things with the strains of TWD season 6 episode 16 showing, or is it the work of that mystery riot geared group? And okay, maybe this also needed a spoiler. However, it is worth saying that it is barely a spoiler because they've made it very well known that Dwight is going to show up in this season.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you didn't know that, sorry, maybe, spoiler ahead there. You can,
well, there's actually another person too, that's coming in too, that we haven't seen in a while, but you know, these aren't spoilers for people who are fans.
Okay. Well, Daniel is not a spoiler at this point because he showed up in the video. Yeah. So, you know, that cat's out of the bag, so to speak. And that I wanted to talk about him in the what sauce, but he gets brought up in feedback here. So, we'll get to that. Okay. Next part, that logo on that document that Althea pulled out of that dead riot gear guy is the same as in TWD of the Jadis/Anne's team that choppered Rick away. It's a pity that Fear the Walking Dead is years back in the past from The Walking Dead. Otherwise, I'd want Rick to make an appearance in Fear the Walking Dead. And I'll stop right there because she has a whole bunch of other points, and I wrote a point about this one. It might be possible for Rick to appear because we don't exactly know where they are in the timeline right now. We know it's forward of, we know that Morgan left somewhere in the 18 months between season 8 and season 9. Okay. So I'd say roughly 5 months in, and we don't know how much time has passed since then. So it might be possible at some point in season 5 here that we see Rick. And of course, that would be a huge thing if that happens. And it would really be shocking if they're able to, you know, pull that off and no one have, you know, heard about it and nobody leaked it. So I don't know, but we shall see. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that, of course, because I had that later on. Logan actually knew the lock combinations at the factory, so he was really taking back what was his, but he doesn't want to share. Yeah.
I noticed that too. I was like, he's not just nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't BSing. Like, he really is the L in the CNL. Both Morgan and Alicia will be tussling with their emotions of help and hope versus the doom and gloom of failing to help anybody yet. Alicia is the old Morgan. Killing is the only solution, clear. But what has changed is that they are all united in their quest now and work together in unison, whatever the odds and challenges, and just do what is necessary, which is good for those kids to see in action right before their eyes when they tended to Luciana. I don't know if I would agree about Alicia being the old Morgan. Yeah. Because she definitely wants to help people. So I don't think I could use that analogy. I don't know. I don't know what you guys think, but that's my take. I think we'll see those kids again and give the OG a chance to convince them there is always a better way to live together. It was nice that June also got a chance to help John along to have hope. Yeah, I said that earlier. I agree. Looking forward to Strand and Daniel's meetup, or more a confrontation, when Strand has to try and ask for Daniel's plane and to hear what the story is behind why Daniel's video is labeled Skidmark. LOL. Yes. And various things about Skidmark. But I will say that I know what Skidmark is.
So do I.
And we'll talk about that later. But I really thought that Luciana was a goner, so I was surprised that she survived, as she needs a more meaty and substantial role in Fear the Walking Dead. Since losing Nick, she's a bit aimless plot-wise. I would concur, but I'd even say that she was lost a little bit, even in Season 3, because I still don't really understand why they needed to send her away. And for that matter, how she got back, like, that was very,
yeah, that's kind of vague.
It was a lot of things vague in Season 4. I'll give you another thing. We never find out what exactly happened to Nick to make him so skittish, for wanting to, you know, go outside the compound. And, we're never going to find really out why, because, you know, he's gone now. And but going back and rewatching Season 4, that was emphasized again for me. So Althea will need to be rescued. People in Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead don't ever listen. So obviously we'll see a bit more of the Riot Gear team, and I'm Quizzy, what's that
says?
Yeah. The word says Quizzy. I'm not sure if that's what you meant, Gladys, but you can let us know. It says, I'm Quizzy to find out if Dwight is part of that group or not.
Or Queasy.
Yeah, I don't think it's Queasy.
Yeah, I think it's more Quizzy.
Quizzical?
Yeah, or
curious?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yes, thank you again, Glynis, for your insightful feedback. So I will give you a... Yes, very good. All right, so that's it for our feedback this week. We didn't get too many. I wonder how many people forgot that Fear was back.
Possible, or just recorded it to watch later.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to our old notes. I said old notes. All right. Well, anyway, Mark, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to start off with something that's not on my original notes, but you guys could pipe in at any time. So now we already seen Daniel Salazar coming back. And he seems to be the cockroach that seems to can't be killed. What are the possibilities that, since we never saw Madison die, what is the possibility of her coming back at all? You know, they could always...
What?
You know, they could always turn around and say she found a loophole to get out of that area, because Daniel seems to get out of everything.
If they did that, I would... lose my... No, I wouldn't riot. I would love it. I have not been in support of them killing off her character. I thought that her character had really come very much forward from where she was. You know, if she got killed off in season two, I would have been like, bye-bye, see ya. Yeah. You know, or in season three, if she had died and not Travis, I would have, like, if she would have switched places with Travis, I would have been okay with that at the time. It was season three that made her an interesting character, though. So I would, we never actually saw her die. Yeah. So now they have said that she's dead. They've said it multiple times. She got, you know, the in memoriam. She, you know, the showrunners have said that she's dead, but there's always the possibility that she survives. So,
yeah, they could always just change everything and be like, oh, wait, that was a ruse. And, you know,
it was a dumpster.
Did we ever see Daniel Salazar and people who got killed in The Walking Dead, in Fear of the Walking Dead?
Well, again, he's another character, very similar way. There were, you know, in season two, he was presumed dead, you know, that he died in the fire, but he didn't die in the fire. And we assume that he died in the dam, and, you know, he got his face shot up, and somehow he survived that too. So, yes, he is very much the cockroach in the nuclear...
Well, here's another one. The person that they plan on bringing back this season, who shall not be named, did he get an in memoriam that end of that season?
If you're talking about, I'll just say it right now. If you're talking about Troy, it has been refuted. Apparently, one of the showrunners in April at some point had responded to that and said, no, that was just a rumor.
So, well, hold on. Well, did we see an in memoriam in The Talking Dead for him?
Yes, we did. Yes,
all right. So then Madison could possibly come back.
Well, no. Hold on a second. We did not see an in memoriam for Daniel.
Yeah.
Okay, so him coming back definitely makes sense. But since they have said that Troy, the reappearance of Troy was a rumor and not the actual, you know, truth, that, you know, for all we know, maybe Alicia Debnam Carey's dating, you know, Daniel, what's his last name? Sherman, I think. Is that it? The guy who played Troy. Yeah. Or Danai Garcia or something like that. Or, you know, maybe he was just shooting in Austin as well. Just a coincidence that he was seen there. So, or, you know, he could have just been visiting with them, you know. But supposedly it's been refuted. Now, if they come around, you know, if the showrunners turn out to be like, oh, I don't know, say Steve Jobs, and, you know, claim that Apple will never come out with a phone, right? And you know, they end up bringing back his character. I mean, okay, whatever. But who knows? Who knows? Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. But I don't want it to come off as like a gimmick of like, oh, we need to do this because the show is not doing good. You know, it's like, I want there to be a story more than just a dumpster.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, I think exactly. That's got, you know, that has to be, I would think it would be in the back of my mind to be like, I don't want to cause that kind of chaos, you know, again, or revolt or whatever. Cause that's a lot of pain in
definitely
viewers felt, but anyways,
yeah. Is that it, Mark?
Well, you know, honestly, it was the first attempt for them at a plane. Was there any other plane that they used at some point? I would love to have seen them, you know, build up a story of how they got the plane, how they got it started, how they got where they are. Plus, you know, we've said it before, it seemed like Strand knew how to fly a plane. Why wasn't he doing it?
Yeah,
that's the big question.
Yeah,
well, that's what I was kind of like, that was my big question too, was just like, why were they like split up into like two crews? What was Strand and them, like, what were they doing? Like, they were driving the SWAT vehicle and, you know, a truck. Like, were they on a different kind of mission or were they going somewhere else? You know, it was kind of, yeah, that's the big question mark. So it's like, why didn't Strand, you know, why wasn't he with them? Even says it, you know.
And the only other thing I would be is, so Daniel is Skidmark. Was he wearing his brown pants when Althea found him before he interviewed him? She interviewed him. But I already know the truth, though. I just wanted to throw that in as a little joke.
It's you, isn't it, Kyle?
Oh, okay. I don't know if you're saying something.
Yeah,
oh.
Kyle, you had notes.
Yes, I, you know, a lot of people have already like already commented in their feedback, but so I guess like there's two antagonists this season. It's like Logan and the mysterious black suit people. I'm assuming, you know, it's like because Logan doesn't seem like he's all like that vicious of a person. I mean, obviously we don't know if something, because, you know, his reaction to Alicia saying, I'm going to kill you, whatever. I thought it was interesting because she's like, I don't want people to die. You know, it's like, I was just wanting my stuff back. So I'm kind of like, you know, it's like, so maybe there's like some kind of showdown and then he somehow maybe turns and comes and helps, you know, joins the group or helps the group. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see because I'm feeling like that he's being laid out as being like, oh, he's the baddie. But then we also have whatever, you know, Althea got dragged off with. So, and Daniel, it's like, I have no idea where he fits in all this, at least what we can see in this first episode. Cause it's with all the other unknowns, I kind of feel like the plot of the season might get a little all over the place. Like the writers are throwing everything in, but the kitchen sink. I mean, it's like you have the kids, you have the scary radiation, whatever's the three ring circus, Logan, Daniel, Dwight, and then our group. So I feel like it, like just from this episode alone, it's like, I feel like there's a lot, you know, going on. So I'm hope I'm wrong, you know, cause it is kind of making me a little scared right now with the season, because I don't want it to just turn into a big muddled mess, or like, you know, we kind of go down one road with a group or like the kids and then all of a sudden they just disappear and then we focus on something else. You know, I'm like, I kind of had a problem with, and I think you've kind of said, kind of mentioned it, Mark, was just kind of like, I kind of would like to know, you know, how did they get the plane? Like, when did Logan come into all this? You know, how did they get first, you know, how did he reach out to them, or they reached out to, you know, him? Yeah. And just kind of like the whole process of like, yeah, like, did they ever help anybody, or was this like however many months this is, you know, it's like, was it completely, you know, like, you know, they couldn't find or help or save anybody, or just they're following Alice tapes and then they're finding, you know, going, oh, this person was over here. Okay. They go over there and like, oh, nope, that camp has been destroyed or that person's dead. And, you know, it's like, we just get this like, boom, plane crash, who's Logan, you know, and then kids. And then, you know, it just, it really kind of was a little jolting. But then, you know, as much as I do love the universe and the show, and I loved seeing the characters, and I like how our group seems so much more like, as like a unit, and like have different roles and know exactly what to be doing. You know, it's like Alicia's kind of their main, like, I wouldn't necessarily say, well, I mean, I guess she could be kind of the head leader, but then I think Morgan and her kind of play that role. But then you just, you know, June's definitely, she's the nurse, you know, she's the, helps the people, you know. Ophelia is the one that gets holes poked at her, or not Ophelia, Luciana. Luciana gets holes poked in her, you know, and John, you know, he's, it was very interesting to see him actually kind of having, like, losing some hope.
He's like the reluctant hero of the yeah. group. And it's like you could actually attribute certain names from different shows to each person if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, overall, you know, it's like, you know, it's definitely, it has my attention, and I very, very excited to see where it goes. 'Cause I definitely, this whole possible tie-in with, you know, Rick in the main show, you know, and then this, whatever this group is, like, that to me, I'm like, that's, I hope that's where they're headed, like headed to, you know, and just maybe the kids join on, or maybe the kids help, or, you know, like whatever, all the other stuff. Like, I kind of hope it leads to that end and not just this complete, just like, oh, we found another denim factory.
Well, we also have to look forward to apparently another spinoff show, and they're talking about kids moving on in that show.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and that's, I've like heard that and saw some of that online. It's just like that maybe these kids, not necessarily that they're the ones, obviously, but that the idea of like, oh, after everybody's survive the, you know what, the apocalypse, but then like their children, and then like the next generation, like the new class.
Well, like, oh, I was thinking actually it might have been these kids once I first saw this episode. Maybe they kind of,
I thought the next show was supposed to be all girls though.
Did you say the next generation?
Yes.
No.
Walking Dead, the next generation.
No.
Anyway,
no, I yeah. Well, I thought the next show, I thought it was like supposed to be like these like sisters, or like it was kind of being more of a woman like cast group or whatever. I didn't know if there was anything about kids, or maybe I saw something, maybe that was just something that they were thinking about.
Let's move on to the news, ratings, and info. And for as far as notes, I don't really have any notes other than stuff that I had written down that people have already said, or we said earlier. So, all right. So let's move on to news so we can talk about this a little better.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Boy, it's been a long time. It's kind of sad because both of those characters are dead now.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to skip the ratings for a minute just so we can talk more about this and go into a news item. And that is, had you guys were hinting at it, both of you, that a third Walking Dead TV show has been announced. This was announced after we had wrapped up season 9 of The Walking Dead, Mark and I, and supposedly it is going to be shot in Virginia, and the first season will be 10 episodes long, and it is being, the showrunner is going to be co-executive producer from The Walking Dead, Matthew Negrete. So I don't have the specifics as far as the title, because that hasn't been announced, but what I meant, the it was a little outline, and it had something about teens or young people coming of age in the zombie apocalypse or something like that. Now, that could be a number of things. If that's children, I really hope that that's not what it is, because I don't really want to see a kid's zombie show.
Goonies.
I don't want to see that.
Goonies meet the zombies.
I don't want to see a zombie, you know, apocalypse for the CW. Because, you know, that's also a possibility. Could it be the kids? Yeah, it could be. Now, one thought that I had with it supposedly being shot in Virginia, they could actually show Virginia in this show, which they can't really do on The Walking Dead because it's not shot in Virginia. It's shot in Georgia. So, you know, it might, be able to, like, depending on where it is in Virginia, it may show, you know, rural Virginia or like somewhere in the Appalachians or something. Or it could be, you know, who knows, maybe they shoot it around DC and, you know, maybe we can see the actual Capitol building in the skyline or something, you know, obviously digitally changed and whatnot, so it looks all wrecked up. But we're kind of doing this out of order from when we knew usually do it, but I wanted to get to that. So anyway, what do you guys think about this new show?
It's interesting. Just depends on what are they trying to portray or do, you know? Is it just, is it just like the offspring and how that, like, just, I mean, I guess there's an interest in just seeing like, okay, yeah, at some point, you know, life goes on. So then, you know, are they still running around like hiding from walkers, or do they build or start a community, you know, or is it going to be like the 100? Similar premise.
You know, could it be like Oceanside? I mean, could we be following Oceanside with, what's her name? Rachel, Cindy. Because didn't see Cindy, but, you know, maybe Cindy's still in Oceanside. Who knows? I mean, it could be them. It could be Magda in that group, you know, because, you know, Magda's, well, younger, but, you know, not young enough. I don't know. Or could it be somebody, you know, could it be the ghost of Enid? You know, alternate timeline, Enid survives. And who knows?
Yeah, I don't know where I saw it, but I feel like I thought that there was already some casting info about, and there is like that. That's where I thought I saw something that was saying that there was is going to have more of a heavier female like leads.
Yeah,
like a two sisters or something that like survived, and then. Anyway, so I can't, I don't know. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it, but, and that could have been just a guess. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know. Depending on how these Rick Grimes movies go, and then where we are with Fear, and then how season 10 of The Walking Dead plays out, I don't know if there might just not be an appetite for a new show. I don't know.
That's kind of my point that I'm wondering is that, and this was not initially mentioned by me. I think I saw this mentioned by, Jason from the Walking Dead cast. I don't know if he mentioned it on his show or I just saw him write this and I responded to it, but I really wonder if AMC has misestimated like how much more of the Walking Dead universe audiences want to see. And to that, in support of this, I mean, at least in a short term response to this, one thing I noticed, I was really shocked by this. Okay. But at the end of Talking Dead this week, Chris Hardwick said that they will be back for the mid-season finale. So in other words, the next, well, assuming the mid-season is, you know, it's split 8 and 8 like it usually is, the next 6 episodes is going to have no Talking Dead at all. And this is going to be interesting. I mean, maybe we'll get more listeners out of it. That would be nice. But it is kind of surprising. But looking at the ratings, which I'll get to in a second here, I guess it kind of makes sense. But yeah, I'm just wondering. I've said this before. I really wonder if they got going with this Walking Dead universe stuff and all these multiple shows a couple of seasons too late.
Oh, I've said that a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, to me, I'm more interested in the Rick movies because it's Rick than I am in this unknown series. I'll certainly watch it. I'm not going to commit to podcasting for it at this point. And, you know, I had to take out a whole bunch of stuff our last episode, Kyle, but I've had some time to think about this, and you know, at this point I'm week to week on this show and Walking Dead. I mean, I'm gonna keep going until it's not interesting for me anymore. It's not it's not a chore. So far it's not a chore, and you know, I'm going to keep doing it, but there may come a point in this season or in the next season of The Walking Dead where I just was like, I'm done. And
no, I totally get it.
The idea of podcasting for me, and always has been and always will be, is talk about the things you love, and we love the show.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you feel a lack of love for it, you have to go with something that you do truly love. And I know that you love Star Trek Discovery, and you're looking more for the Picard show that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
And to that, I will say I have watched that trailer, which is only a minute and 9 seconds. I have watched that trailer over 50 times. So yeah, I am really clamoring for it. And I am a little concerned, actually, to be honest with you, that I thought, based on the scheduling of this, that they may try to play all of Fear the Walking Dead in 16 episodes without having a break. But basically, they've confirmed on Talking Dead that there is a mid-season finale. So I'm hoping it's not a long one, a long hiatus, and, you know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. But I had figured out if it didn't have a mid-season finale, the last episode would end on September 15th, I believe. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's not on hiatus for too long, because what I'm worried about is supposedly Picard series, it's been rumored, will come out in late November, like the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend is the rumored start, whether or not that, or not the Sunday, but sorry, the possibly that Thanksgiving weekend. It could, it's rumored. It's not for sure, but supposedly it's supposed to arrive in the fall. And I don't want to be in a situation again where I'm doing covering those, that show. Yeah. Because I'm sorry, my passion. And also I think the last episode of Star Trek Discovery had 28 pages of show notes. It took Ruthie and I over 6 hours to record. We had to split it into three episodes that, you know, it was that raw thing was 6 hours and whatever. But even after editing it down and cutting a lot of, you know, silence out and some other stuff out, it still was like way over 5 hours of content. So my bottom line is to listeners, I'm saying I'm week to week on this podcast right now. I am not saying I'm leaving. I'm saying the show, it's basically up for these two shows to keep me in. And if it gets to a point where I don't want to do it anymore, then I'm going to go. I have faith that there's certainly enough interesting possibilities that I'm hoping it doesn't happen. But then again, the last episode of this show, I gave a 6. So I looked it up to see exactly what I gave it, and it was a 6. And I remember all the problems that I had with it, you know, and the whole time and distance thing. And I really hope that they get a handle on that and explain like exactly how far they're going. And for that matter, I think Morgan must have got a plane too, you know, or maybe a helicopter pulled that transport to get it to Mississippi that quick. I don't know. I'm just joking, but that's what I'll say. I mean, I'm just not as interested. And this time I'm telling you, Kyle, do not delete this. Do not edit all this right out. I want to keep it in. I'm going to be honest. I'm week to week. So, all right. So as far as info, I'm going to do the ratings last, which is the exact opposite order of how I usually do it. But information about this episode, you may have noticed at the end, it said in memory of Bobby Reed. I did some research to figure out what was going on with that, and I posted a link to it in the Facebook group. But Jenna Elfman had posted about Bobby Reed March 20th. It said apparently he was a key grip on the show last season, and he died tragically in March. I don't know what the circumstances were behind that, but yeah, so that's why they dedicated the show to him. And the other thing you may have noticed, you may have not, but the role of Dylan, and that's the kid at the beginning of the episode that had, you know, the Coke bottle glasses and shot the deer. I think maybe he had glasses on because that kid was played by Cooper Dodson, and that is the brother of Major Dodson, who played Sam on The Walking Dead. And if you don't remember who Sam is, that's of course the character in Alexandria that Carol scared the bejesus out of with cookies.
And it was whiny.
So yes, yeah. He was very whiny, and of course he suffered a horrible, horrible death. So anyway, yeah, that's his brother. So, all right. So as far as the ratings are concerned, they weren't as bad as they could have been, but they were lower from the last season premiere, of course. And if you remember, there was that whole crossover episode, so it did really well in the ratings last season. It did worse. It also did worse than the season finale of last season. It got a 0.59 in the 18 to 49 with 1.966 million viewers. That's down from 0.71 and 2.127 million last season finale. I didn't look up the actual numbers for season 4 premiere. I do remember it got somewhere in the 4 million mark in total viewers, so that's about half of what this got. It's not horrible, though, because there were several episodes in season 4 that were lower than this. So, I mean, usually the first episode gets worse the ratings get worse from the first episode to the second and the third. So I don't know where this is going to lead. It probably means that by episode 3 or 4, it'll be at an all-time low. But it again, it's not the worst that it could have been.
Well, my question, though, and I've always had this question, and I think I've even asked you this question. It's just like, what are the numbers from the +3s, +7? Like, because I can, and then, you have the app now. Like, you guys saw the episode before, it aired. And so,
right.
There's a lot of ways to, get the, watch the show.
Yeah. So
actual live viewing ratings, I kind of don't look at as, a true benchmark, because I'm sure there's a lot of other competition, obviously sports or anything that other people want to watch, but they're still watching the show, just they're watching it later
or the DVRs and everything else.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I watched, obviously if there was another show on, I would watch, Fear, or I would record the other show. And, it's like, I just feel like that this is the number I don't look at it as being like, oh, that's the end all. It's just like people have way different ways of viewing, their television nowadays.
That's true. And it's worth saying that with Game of Thrones, it was indicated that, the ratings were the highest of the show. I think the season finale was the highest so far. But when they added on things like HBO Now and HBO Go and that kind of stuff, the ratings were way higher. And I noticed distinctly that ratings for the Live +3 and the Live +7 were quite a bit lower on a percentage than, say, we'd see the increases for Fear and for The Walking Dead. Now, that might mean that people are watching it on HBO Go, and perhaps those don't get counted like the on-demand do, and because I know those do.
Yeah.
And DVR certainly does, but I don't know about HBO Now and HBO Go. So with AMC Premiere, we don't know how many people are watching it that way. I watched it that way the first time. The second time I watched it actually on Spectrum, but not through, well, I watched it on my browser. I watched it through their live.
Yeah.
Live web browser. I didn't watch it on my TV. I watched it in the web browser. So I don't know how they count those things. But it's, yeah.
No, I and whether or not they even count those kind of things towards whatever ratings they're using, because I know I'm I always find it interesting though, because I forgot who was saying it from another podcast, from the Deadcast, or stuff is being so much more like in the bingeable format.
Yeah.
So it's like when you watch stuff now, we're getting seasons, the whole entire season all at once, and we can just binge watch it, and how that changes how the story goes and how things might get perceived or whatever, to having that week to week of, here's a little bit of it, you get to digest it, and here's another one. And whether or not this whole season, I don't know. It's like, that would be an interesting thought. Like, you just watched season 4. It's like, binge watching it, did that have any effect on how you felt? Be interesting.
It is interesting, because actually Steve and I brought that up too, because you could watch, we were doing all the Netflix Marvel stuff, and you could watch that almost as if it was like an entire movie in a whole day if you determined to do it. And honestly, I got HBO Now so I could watch Game of Thrones this season, and I was watching it with my friends as it was playing, as they were just the same. And if they actually did that with this, in a sense, in counting those ratings and everything else, I don't think they're counting those ratings as far as what's going on with the AMC app. And, you know, and now we're talking about Disney Plus, and Disney's getting their own content too. So they're going to be rated on that. And you have to factor in too, well, there's people that are going to be cutting the cord eventually. So they got to rate that.
Yeah. Or there's also the people that just like don't want to watch it when it airs, but once it's out, and you know, like, so you can binge watch it, and then that's when they all watch it. Yeah. So, I would like to see, because maybe that's where AMC is getting the idea of like, oh no, there's still an appetite for this to, you know, make that spinoff and tell another story, mm-hmm. or even just talking about, we want to make this our, you know, intellectual property, you know, like of the world, you know, that's why Gimple is like the head honcho in the bow tie for the whole universe. So I don't know. So I'm like, as long as they don't get sloppy with the writing and do really stupid boneheaded things, even if it's not perfect, I definitely like still want to see stuff in this universe. So I'm hoping that, you know, at least this season they can step it up and maybe learn from some of the mistakes, and, you know, thinking about the fact that, like, okay, after Madison, you know, were like, look at the backlash that caused, you know, or like the comments, you know, they can't just be living in their own bubble thinking, oh, she didn't matter, we're going to do another thing and this is going to be so cool. And it's just like, well, that's not, you know, serving your fans. So we'll
maybe
see.
That's why they decided not to actually show her dead. The fact that they, you know, could potentially maybe bring her back, but then again, they did announce her as dead on Talking Dead, and
But so leaves the fact, but that's because, you know, there is no, we didn't see the body, we didn't see her guy,
right?
No, you know, body, it's no, like death, that still, regardless, still leaves the door open so they can do whatever, you know, and hopefully just do it right if they are going to take that route at some point.
Yeah, they could always play that whole sleight of hand and say, all right, well, we gave you that, but we're not going to do that.
I think it will be indicated by, you know, if a renewal comes, and they don't say something like, you know, oh well, we renew it for season 6 and that will be the final season, or something like that, or, you know, maybe they even come back and they don't make an announcement, you know, until the end of the season, who knows. It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. Like, AMC included has been, you know, we've seen Netflix cancel a lot of shows, and we've seen AMC lately cancel several shows. They canceled our favorite, Mark, Into the Badlands. They've canceled that. Well, they've said that Preacher's last season is going to be this summer, I guess.
Yeah.
And they canceled that Dietland pretty quickly. So, you know, and they canceled Comic Book Men as well.
Unfortunately, that's also worth, and actually, it's funny. It makes me laugh that they kept pushing Comic Book Men further into the night. And yet they're still pushing all these other shows like Nosferatu, and they did Into the Badlands, and there what was that thing last year that they did too that we weren't too happy about, that I kind of like faded out after like the first episode?
Oh, the one in Terror? Is that the one? The Terror? The one with
It just kind of went away, and right. You know,
that's been renewed.
But the thing is my feeling is, and I'm taking a quote from somebody we know from a group that we belong to, is saying, give us the show and give us the Talking Dead and then put whatever you want after, and then give it another time slot. And then and then do that. You know, they didn't have to do it with comic book men. You know, I actually spoke to those guys and they were happy with what they were doing. And there are huge fans of those guys. You know, Mike still works at the comic shop. Walt's still there. They have Get 'Em. Ming is always doing, they're always doing cons and everybody keeps wanting them to come back and they want them to do their own, but they can't because they don't have the backing. But
and they could have make them like an app only like series, just like everything else.
Exactly.
They could have been on AMC Premiere exclusively for that matter.
Yeah.
Right. You know? It's like they didn't have to be on the television at the certain time slot. It'd just be like, hey, make it we're leading to that, it seems like, anyways.
I would have thought that, you know, since we're bringing up that show, I think that show would have been more successful at an earlier hour.
Yeah.
So like it could have, you know, if it appeared, say, Tuesday nights or something like that, at an earlier time, you know, there was nothing that, you know, it could have appeared at 8 o'clock or something like that. It would have definitely been,
And that appealed to basically a lot of kids.
Yeah,
exactly. And people were bringing up kids and people who love comics. Sorry, I this is the comic book talk in me, coming from Panels to Pixels. But it's just like, honestly, I loved having that show. And I love those guys. I knew those guys because, you know, being a comic book lover and a collector and over the years. But speaking to them directly, they are passionate about what they do. And they had a great time doing that show. And it's just a sad thing that they kept getting pushed back. It's like, even Mike said it to me. He goes, oh, we were pushed back to 12 o'clock. Oh, then we were pushed back to 1. And next thing you know, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's watching.
Yeah,
of course not. Yeah. I mean, it's like I say, they could have easily been on Saturday night or something like that. It would have been, I think it would have been more successful. And why they did what they did, I don't know. But you know, maybe it happens a lot in Hollywood. The show is the brainchild of some executive, and that executive moves on, and the new guy says, "Oh, out with the rest of them." You know, and that could have happened with The Walking Dead for that matter. A new executive said, I'm going to make this whole network The Walking Dead, you know, and expanding on, and for that matter, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to make shows like Nosferatu and, you know, kind of even into the Badlands because it hits the same kind of niche as The Walking Dead does. But, you know, is that what you want the network to be? Or do you want to rename the network like, you know, horror TV or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, we're kind of getting off.
What is this here. Digress? Let's
rope it back.
Have we separated?
Yes.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
All right. Well, I already mentioned that Talking Dead is only going to show up for the season premiere and the mid-season finale. And we don't know when it comes back, but it's maybe an indication. Maybe they were correct in assessing that the ratings for it weren't going to be very good, especially with them having it after Nosferatu, because it really didn't get a very good rating this week, although it came on at 11:19 this week. So it got a 0.11. in the 18 to 49. It didn't even make the top 50. I think it was down to on the one website that I look for in ratings. It listed Talking Dead at number 60 in cable. So it did not do too well. 0.11 in 18 to 49 with 457,000 viewers. That compares to 0.21 in the 18 to 49 with 822,000 viewers last season's finale Talking Dead. And in case you're curious, last season's season finale for The Walking Dead, for season 9, episode 16, it got a 0.29 in the 18 to 49 with 1.027 million viewers. And that, I know, came at a late time as well. But it's not exactly impressive, but it still was, you know, more than double what this episode got. So maybe they're kind of right. Now, if you're curious, I didn't write it in the show notes, but Nosferatu got a 0.29 in the 1849 with 1.108 million. So, you know, roughly about the same as that Talking Dead did for Walking Dead's season finale. Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, that's it for our news, ratings, and info segment. If you want to interact with us, Kyle, why don't you tell people how to do that?
We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and that's at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And we'd like to encourage you to use our email address, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. There's also the feedback form at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. It is now functioning again, so you can send text and audio there. You can find our SpeakPipe widget or call us at 304-837-2278. And the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts or going to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. And while you're at it, give us a rating or review. Find out all the other ways to support GSM at goldenspiralmedia.com/support.
And we've mentioned it a couple of times, but season 2 of the Star Trek Discovery was amazing. And I highly, highly, highly recommend that show to everyone. My favorite show on TV now. I can say that wholeheartedly. I thought maybe Game of Thrones would give it a run for its money, and then I watched season 8 of Game of Thrones. So,
Snipe.
It was one great episode out of 6, and the rest, especially that 5th episode, I was not happy.
Nah.
And the season finale or series finale, yeah, not exactly great. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Anyway, so I want to encourage you and listen to me and my co-host Ruthie on there. We will be coming back with episodes this month. We have a couple of episodes planned where we're going to come back with a season 2 roundtable. We haven't had a chance to do that because I was on a needed hiatus/was unavailable for about a month and a half, but now I'm back. Anyway, but now we are going to come back with that round table, and we've got some extremely lengthy feedback that we couldn't cover in a regular episode that we're going to cover then. So definitely we'll have a couple of episodes coming to you in the next couple of weeks. You can reach us by going to StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. You can search for Star Trek Discovery in, I don't know what it'd be now, Apple Podcasts, because I guess iTunes is going away, at least everywhere but Windows, it seems.
Yeah.
They can't get rid of that awful program in Windows. So you have to just keep rubbing it in our Windows faces. But anyway, facebook.com/group/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. Go ahead and join us on there. It's a small but active group. So catch us there. Mark, what about you?
Well, you get to listen to Steve Brown and I, and we're still on Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Radio Podcast Network. And we did a couple of really cool episodes with Captain Marvel review. We did Hellboy, which wasn't that great. And we did Avengers Endgame. Actually, we're gearing up. We got a few suggestions from a bunch of podcast friends and co-hosts. And they recommended doing a Preacher, because Preacher's coming back on. And we're gearing up to do a review of seasons 1 and 2 of Jessica Jones, and then jumping right into Jessica Jones season 3. And then what we're looking to do in between, just to throw in a few times, because it's the 25th anniversary of the Crow movie, we're going to do a review of that movie 25 years later, as well as it's a little out of the nowhere, but we're going to do Godzilla, King of the Monsters. I'm going to throw some filler episodes in there. So if Kyle, you want to come in and talk about comic book movies, you're more than welcome. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So might take you up on that.
So,
I finally got a lot over the break. I finally started catching up on the Marvel movies. I'm not caught up yet. I have not watched Endgame, but I did watch Infinity War. So I'm getting there.
There's a lot out there, and with the Disney Plus app, there's going to be a lot more content for us. But honestly, we're looking a little bit outside of the Marvel universe, and we did that with Hellboy, and we did that with Judge Dredd. So now we're looking to venture off and do Preacher and a few other things too. So
I look forward to it, and I'll tell you, you might be able to get me on the guest host for that one. I love that show.
The more the merrier. That's always what I always say. So Steve and I always embrace it, and we love it, and it's always fun having people on.
Yeah, I definitely, not to invite myself, but I definitely come on to talk about Preacher. I've not had the chance, and that is, you know, a short list of one of my favorite TV shows. Sorry that it's in its last season, because it's been quite the ride.
Yeah, Jason actually recommended it, as well as Paik and Rima. So we're going to take that on a little bit too.
Great. Cool. And so, Kyle, do you have any podcasts that you've started? How's the tea and
bananas?
Bananas.
I'm still in development stage. I ate all the bananas and ran out of tea.
Oh, jeez. Can't have that.
Yeah. Well, one of these days, I'll surprise you.
All right. Well, our next episode of Fear the Walking Dead will be coming to you Sunday, June 9th, and we'll record it next week. But it is episode 2. And the only thing we know about it is the title, which is The Hurt That Will Happen. Sounds very painful.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the only thing that we know about it at this point. We believe that we may see Daniel this coming episode. And we do know, actually, spoiler, we do know what skid mark signifies. And if you don't want to know, just fast forward or stop the episode and just let it end. But skid mark is a cat. So there in the trailer, there was a cat. Well, that's the cat, skid mark. So anyway, the reason why I know this is that was on the AMC Premiere app. There is a preview of it, and it shows that cat. And Daniel calls it skid mark more than once.
Yeah, I know.
Skid mark, get over here. Skid mark, come on. Anyway, so until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And good night, everybody.